Karen and I had, I think, a similar response to our act reading, seeing parallels with the current ways that our communities are trying to pull together, to share, to support the more vulnerable people. But it was also a reminder of the more negative aspects, what Cara in her reflection this week calls the challenges of human community. Some people being selfish or over-officious, as one or two of us have found. And a reminder from Corinthians that the early church was also not perfect and had its negative moments. None of us is perfect. Loving one another doesn't come automatically. It needs work, tolerance, and patience. Thankfully, though, in this new normal, we are finding new ways to express our love and concern, and finding inspiration, perhaps from unexpected sources. It's certainly been an inspiration to me that a national hero has been a very old person, Captain Tom, reminding us that old people and all of us have all something to give and not just to be receivers of things. Things to give which God can use and multiply. It was rather a loaves and fishes moment in our national life. I want to focus, though, mainly on the gospel reading. Today is sometimes called Good Shepherd Sunday, and God as shepherd of his people is a very ancient image. The Lord is my shepherd, we sang the 23rd Psalm. And elsewhere in the Old Testament, for instance in Isaiah, God will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. There are lots of examples in the scriptures. Newborn lambs are cute, and rural images are appealing, as in that picture that accompanied the hymn. I did wonder whether to put a less appealing picture there, but I succumbed to having something which was perhaps inspirational. But we know that the life of a shepherd is a hard one. Perhaps in poor communities across the world, families have to lead flocks, sometimes for hundreds of miles in a summer season, looking for pasture, even in our own country, our green and pleasant land. Out on the hillsides, shepherding may involve wandering through endless mud to heave wandering sheep out of bogs, or perhaps digging them out of snowdrifts. It's lonely and dangerous work. And Jesus' illustration warns of the dangers in his day to the sheep, the thieves and bandits, the strangers who climb the wall, who cause the sheep to run away, who kill and destroy. The biblical shepherd laid his life on the line to protect the sheep. Jesus may have been pointing at the religious leaders. The prophet Ezekiel condemns the leaders of his day as bad shepherds who should have been protecting the flock. And Jesus may well have been thinking about the prophet's words. But also our passage follows the debate after the healing of the blind man in John chapter 9. And in a sense, it's John's comment on that incident. There, the religious leaders seem willfully to misunderstand what's going on and God's purposes. And Jesus calls them blind guides. They're failing in their task of looking after God's people and in teaching them his ways. And in contrast, the good shepherd looks after the flock. He knows the sheep by name, and the sheep know his voice and follow him. And at this time of the year, we may think of Mary in the garden, recognizing the risen Jesus when he speaks a name. And the sheep are not left to their own devices. The shepherd leads them out. He goes before them, leading them, guiding them. So as a picture of God, the shepherd is a strong image of the God who cares for and protects his people. And it's an aspect that I've always emphasized when I've been looking at this imagery. And when I was doing prison chaplaincy, I often used to share that image of God, the protector, the shepherd when I was talking to them about God. The second image in our passage is perhaps one that we overlook. It's the gate. I don't know what picture that conjures up in your mind. I did go on the internet and pick up a lot of pictures of gates, but I thought we know what gates are like, so I won't bother to share them. But perhaps we think of those very ornate gates that we sometimes see at the entrance to large houses. But the ornate decoration is an added extra. The purpose of the gates is protection, to keep out strangers and robbers, and hence to protect the house and its inhabitants and its contents. Or perhaps we think longingly of rambles in the countryside in those far-off days when we were allowed to go on them together. And we remember that we had to make sure that we closed the gate to a field afterwards. Again, to protect the flock, to stop the animals walking away. And so protection is there again in the image of the gate, God in Christ as the one who protects the flock. We can remember hearing this in Jesus's time. It was often the shepherd himself who was the gate, sleeping across the entrance to the sheep pen, risking his life if necessary for the sake of the sheep. Christ, the good shepherd, the gate, the one who gives his life on the cross for the flock. And so these images speak very strongly of God's protection of us. And yet, the world is as it is. We're here in the middle of this pandemic, which has killed millions and torn apart the lives of millions more. And what we're experiencing is not new. The virus is, but the suffering is not. As Laurence indicated last time, where God is in all this is an age-old question. Perhaps as a clue, when we look at some of the other national heroes of this pandemic and find God there, we can think of those shepherds in protective clothing, if they can get it. Those in the NHS who are daily laying their lives down on the line for the strangers that they care for. Is this where we see God's shepherding care? Care which was modelled in Jesus' own life and death. Then there are the medical researchers here in our city of Oxford and across the world working to find a vaccine. And not forgetting those folk willing to be guinea pigs for this in the trials. We may want it some other way. Want God to blast the virus with a divine thunderbolt, or perhaps a divine antivirus like we have on our computers. But instead, the way forward is through scientists using their God-given skills and expertise, and through people willing to take a risk. And there are those community heroes that I mentioned earlier. Neighbours going out of their way to support the folk around them. Again, mostly strangers. And people seeing the need and dipping into their pockets to donate, to help. And we've seen how this can grow. God's way of intervening seems to be always by working with us. His demonstration of what his care looks like is in the life and the death of Jesus, a human being like ourselves. Paul says that we see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, who suffered alongside us, and who sends his followers out into the world to be his hands and his feet, as St. Teresa of Avila puts it. And so we too are the ones called to be the shepherds, committed to the flock, not just to those closest to us in our lives. Jesus talks about the other sheep, and we may see those perhaps as the community around, the strangers, as the self-sacrifice of the shepherd, encouraging us to give of ourselves when it's not easy or safe. There's the protection of the flock that we're encouraged to do. And love is what underpins it all. The good shepherd gave his life for the sheep. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. All of that is at the heart of our Christian faith. And so what we do for others, we are called to do out of love for them. Love which mirrors the love of God. And all of this, we're working out afresh as we care for one another in these unusual times. And we're learning. At the very least, we can hold your people in our hearts, as we'll sing later. And I chose that song not because of the sending out aspect of it, but because of that phrase, I will hold your people in my heart. And perhaps just to close by reminding us of the words of St. Teresa of Avila, very familiar to us all, I'm sure. Christ has no body now but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands through which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands. Yours are the feet. Yours are the eyes. You are his body. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. Amen.